Thank you so much for the introduction and also for this great opportunity. So today I'm going to talk about the probabilistic model to work on topical analysis and beyond. So most of this work is established by the professor, we're subject, and we're also about the other subreaches. By the way, feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions.
Here's part.
So here I just show a visualization of the large structure in our universe. So basically, as you can see, on the very large scales, our measure in our universe form this kind of web-like structure. So we have this thing of points, we're going to call it halos. We also have filaments which connect the halos, and we also have this kind of points. So all these structures, they are formed under the laws of gravity, and they are impacted by the metal content of our universe, and also by the expansion history of the universe. And therefore, by measuring this kind of large-scale structure, we are able to do many very interesting physics. This includes, for example, very precise constraints of our solid parameters, for example, constraining the energy content of our universe. And we can measure the property of dark matter, constrain the previous state of dark energy. We can search for any signal from gravity, constrain the total mass of neutrinos. We can use this Lie-Klein large structure to infer the initial condition of our universe, and therefore study the physics of inflation. Then, of course, there are also other things that I did. So all of these large structure, they are most of the matter, they are dark, so we won't be able to directly measure them. Fortunately, there are several cosmological probes, and one of them is it's called weak gravity condensing. So here is a visualization of how the actual works. Basically, assuming that we have some background galaxies, which is located here, and here this is our observer. And then we have some large-scale structure, some very massive structures, which lies between this background galaxy and us. And as the light from these background galaxies, they travel to us, they will pass by these massive structures. And we know that the gravity of these massive structures, you know, whether it's dark matter or it's surrounding matter, they will work the space-time of this of its surrounding, and therefore cause distortions in the perceived shape of the background galaxies. And therefore, by measuring the coherent shape of this background galaxies, we are able to reconstruct the kind of distribution of the universe. Here, for example, let's assume that the background galaxies, they are all round, though that doesn't have to be, and that our observed galaxy becomes elliptic of. And we can use this shape information to reconstruct this matter distribution, which is shown as this good dark structure. So I just want to mention that there are definitely lots of other probes of the large structure, which I won't cover today, many methods in this talk can, in principle, be applied to other probes as well. So there are numerous frequency surveys that are underway or in the near future. For example, here I listed a candidate survey, DS, and the HST, the hyper steering pattern survey. So these two have already finished taking the data, but there are also a lot of analysis still ongoing. We also have the group data observatory FST, and it's operationally well likely to start next year. We also have a space telescope, we have all the Euclid and the GOMA space telescope. Euclid was already launched last year, and we already see some early graduated operations. And then GOMA is also in the range of their program. That is really nice. So basically, we are really at a very good age of doing partial structure analysis. And the operation of all these surveys actually requires the input of hundreds of astrophysicists and engineers. And the goal is to precisely measure the billions of galaxies in our universe, and therefore using the data set to constrain the underlying physics and to also search for any motion or maybe. So given all this wonderful data, now the question is how do we really constrain the underlying physics? And this question is actually turned out to be a pretty hard question. And it's really because our data partial structure is hanging out object. So we don't really know it's like new function. So what people do instead is firstly compress this data into some low definition coverage statistics. In this case, here I show the power spectrum, which is just for a transform of the microaddition function. And then we can define some function likelihood on this summation. It's job S here, Y, where S is the surface physics, Y is the cosmological characters. And then we can use the theorem to get the series of space as well for parameter Y, shown on the top right here. But because our data is hiding up function, this kind of analysis based on two-point statistics related to us. So for me, my research focuses on the field level cosmological inference. So that again is we skip this data compression part and actually infer the constraints of our physical parameters using this field level data or this image by data. Of course, there will be no information loss in this approach due to the data compression part. So in this talk, I will focus on using deep learning to directly extract or capture this field level. And this approach will be important to the area of simulation-based inference, because it requires realistic in-purpose simulations to treat all. Alternatively, there's another approach. Basically, you can try to reconstruct the initial condition with a poor quality approach, and then try to come up with a marginal likelihood. So I know a lot of people here are working on this, but I will talk about this in part. So how does the simulation-based inference work? Basically, the idea is actually quite simple. We start from this yellow box here, which is our numerical simulation. And it takes in some input cosmological data, and it starts to generate the our observed box data. In our case, it would be some two-dimensional intrinsic maps of the like X. And then we have this green box, which is some machine learning supervised model. It's simply an online flow, and it basically takes in all the pairs of this X and data and try to estimate the conditional probability distribution of data data X, which is our advertised or approximately posterior. And then given the new data, we can directly evaluate this constraints. And there are, of course, there are other alternatives or variants. Instead of learning posterior, we have also learned the likelihood X in data. And then we basically need to wrap up a sample every time. Let's hear it. So before I talk about what this green box is, I just want to briefly mention that this kind of approach, even though it's really popular right now and it's widely applied to many different fields, there are some potential issues. For example, we basically in this approach we rely on the numerical simulations to train our model. But in our simulators, we have accurate and then there could be some relationships between the GSS data and the simulation that we use to train our model. And then, secondly, this machine learning is a black box, and then it actually affects the predictability of how we mean the targets.
Sorry, I don't understand the difference between left and right.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Basically, on the left, we are trying to learn the posterior what data we have hatched. And on the right, we learn the likelihood of the thing. And then we use a sampler and then get the posterior constraints. This is the secret part. Yeah, basically, it's just a different objective functions or different Arminian descriptions of the function. In this talk, I will try to focus on this approach, try to learn the likelihood functions, and we also call this term more narrow developers. So and I will tell you why I choose this by our approach of prevention.
The difference that is kind of creating the black box with it's like that with the kind of supervision, because you should loop all of those things and that machine learning, it becomes a posterior box, right? So
yeah, but that's
metric to the right and left foot, but you broke the box halfway to get to the posterior and then you did the other leg cross arm. Be fair, sorry.
You mean this what?
Wait, what?
The right.
On the right.
Right and left.
Yeah, so we not assume any energy for horn protective. It's even fine. Like this spring box, it's not my fault. Love it. Keep that thing. But as the system players, so there is no contribution here. No evidence. Great.
But and I could potentially put the cryer that would be on the box for.
Right, yeah, that's basically another kind of approach. Basically, the inference, if I do the analysis, you can choose whatever prior you want to use. But for this one, the prior is already fixed. So, that's a bit much. So here, which is the outline of this talk, basically, the next hour, I'm going to tell you what the numerical flow is, and what can we do for physics. And then I'm going to apply the moment flow to the analysis and show some of these nice properties. And finally, I'm going to show some of the applications of moment flows beyond cosmology. So, moment flow is just essentially just a bidirectional mapping between your data edge, which can have a very complicated distribution, and some Gaussian linear variable. C, which is shown on the right. So this E is just follow the Gaussian bed. And here, this mapping is bidirectional, it's 1-1. It's also required to be principal and to be parts. And assuming that we are able to build such a transformation between your data X and the Gaussian distribution variable C. And then we can evaluate is the density of X, this is a variable formula. It's given by the density of your Gaussian random variable times the Jacobian term of this variable. This essentially not variable by formula. And then we can also sample using this framework. So the idea is we spectroscopy sample from the Gaussian distribution, we get the data variable Z, and then we use the inverse of F. Back to the data space. I'll get the sample from G of X. So here is just one very simple one dimensional sample. Suppose our data distribution is it looks like this. We have this double peak. And then because data is one dimensional, our machine flow is just a one dimensional transformation. So we can just parameterize it using some of our favorite way, for example, parameterized by some polynomial or some splice, and then our data variable Z is equal to the F of max in that space before the training is tiny function. And then after the training, basically we try to minimize some distance between this data variable Z and the Gaussian distribution. So then find that after this training, we learn some very non-trivial one that draw transformation, and then this the hypothesis will have key also follows power hazards. So here are the trick, and it's just essentially trying to minimize some of these that's created distribution C, but they'll never see it.
Yes.
Okay, so moment flow really provide a very powerful framework that allow us to do a high dimensional LPS estimation. For example, the likelihood, and we can also use it to sample from the this quite distribution of X. So now the question is, what can we do for the physics? So here I show four applications, which I'm going to cover in this talk. Basically, you can use it to extract information. So this is essentially it's not like a very sequence that I just talked about. We can use it to generate samples with very low patient cost. Because this framework gives us the density estimation, we can use it to map detection and try to identify, for example, schematics or conceptual nucleotides. And finally, this is a very powerful framework for quantifying the high-dimensional distribution. So we can use it to approximate other detectable distributions, for example, by using conceptual nucleotides or to speed up the FGM system.
Sure. well.
Okay, so next I'm going to apply this framework to the weak Bayesian analysis. So the first question we are going to ask is how do we parameterize such a normalizing flow for our optimal algorithm to do? And we have actually got some insights from some very simple analytical update description that we want to use. For example, cosmologists love to use the field to approximate the binary distribution at very hard scales or at very hard scales. So this model, your function random field is just given by some white noise function times the square root of the power spectrum in the Fourier space. So we actually build this transformation at our distribution model as a normalizing flow. It connects your this structure your data to the white noise option to consume with the vertical and the flow by that prediction. And that probability is about 8 bytes. If we want to go further and also more complicated field, we sometimes do the log normal field, which is just given by taking this random field and calculating the nature of this field in a loop space. Of course, this model can also be viewed as a normalizing flow, even though there's no training parameters here. But it still connects your model with some white noise gauge. And then the likelihood is just given by this. We can further generalize this process and try to come up with some more general transformation. Basically, we start from X, which could be a white noise option. And then for a transform it, we modify it by some filter deferred space. For example, the bad, and now we apply some nonlinearity in the real space. So here, basically, all this psi is nonlinearity in the real space, and this filter T, they will just be parameterized by some parameters, and these parameters will be very complicated. So in this case, it doesn't have to be our loop or thing.
Kids. So question. So in principle, you could apply another filter after applying a nonlinear function. Is there any reason that you don't do that?
So that applies on.
You can apply another filter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this is just what I'm going to talk about. Are you going to do that again?
Okay. So, before that, I just want to mention that of this filter T, it actually only depends on the amplitude of the mode, does not depend on the angle. So, we have a transition angle asymmetry of magnitude in this kind of model. Also, it has some kind of CNN-like architecture because we are doing convolution and then we can argue. So, as I said, we can actually combine multiple such layers and form a very deep nonlinear
machine. So, what happens in the deeply nonlinear regime where the one to one breaks down? You'd have multiple configurations into the same final episode.
Yeah. Basically, this kind of model, we only require that the data space is object distributed. It's object distributed. It doesn't have to be an initial model.
So it's very different from this kind of option.
I'm close.
So actually, a very interesting direction would be, try to get force the data space to be as close to the neutral region as possible, and then we can see fairly different
prediction. It's obvious when it is there, so that it's definitely widening the
price.
But are there cases where you just can't find a Gaussian latent space, or it's always guaranteed, having given some very complicated thing you observe, deeply nonlinear regime, is there always going to be a Gaussian latent space to
So it really depends on the complexity of our transformation or this parameterization. For this kind of for this front model, we find that it actually works pretty well for our cosmological view. I'm going to show you some example where I see that visually or statistics, the latest space is pretty caution. And the for example, machine learning, which is a part of other kinds of transformations. where people have been proposed, and this kind of and you can prove that you can put W of this kind of transfer. Basically, any distribution can be approximate by the and there's somehow means. So, yeah, so here we just apply this kind of product model. It could be a sort of large structure. But here on the left, we have our chicken data, calculated by some simulation. It's all this data, they are generated conditional on random omega m and sigma a. So omega m is just a better foundation of our universe, and sigma a is the population of the amplitude population, the amplitude of the matter population. And on the right, here is the samples from this model. Remember, then we map this data to some coefficient, so we can first example production. You see where some effort to generate the samples. So you can see clearly they look pretty similar, and we also capture this cosmological dependence with more positive and one nice. So here is the summary statistics for this kind of generating samples, and we compare them to our training simulation and circuit mode function. And here you can see that all these samples, they are pretty realistic on the summary statistics. From left to right, we have medium, power special, the white special thing.
Question. Is it left the distribution on deltas, like the density field?
Yeah, it's over x into 5. And here is the data space. Basically, on the left, we have a YPPL, our spectral to bi spectrum. Here we can see that our average statistics, all these latent data are pretty motion.
Yes, the white box for cloud.
So there is a very interesting data collection here. Basically, this normalizing call just removes all the non-parallelity from the gravitational effect. So one interesting science we can do is to try to search for the remodel and often you can like all the strings. Finally, we apply this model to the analysis of the micro structure. So basically, the normal flow will give us the likelihood, which is given by this general variable formula, and that we just choose this very zero step for series to shape is a test.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of confused, but it's because I said the point of normalizing flow was to make things Gaussian. So how can you detect non-Gaussianity if it's supposed to?
Right, yeah. So the idea here is basically we train our model on some simulations without the probability, and then the model will try to remove the non-Gaussianity generated by gravitational field.
Right.
And then we can apply it to real data, which you know good chance of broader maximum. And the hope is that all the energy from the gravitational effect will be removed by the Lomachov law. So in the end of any opportunity you observe in the latent state would be away from the
but did you kind of hoping that the gravitational anxiety is all caused away, but the primordial one is stays untouched?
Yes.
But is that not like we should think to it actually?
Yeah.
Maybe but both get removed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe both primordial and gravitational will get removed. Because if you're doing something nonlinear that removes gravitational Gaussianity, you could also change the primordial one.
Yeah, but the hope is that in our training simulation, we don't really have this primordial protection. And the hope is that they don't get fully, I guess.
Well, there's reasons to think that this is you're likely to succeed. Right? So things like the things like the skeleton and bias would never happen in these Gaussian simulations, right?
Yeah, I guess the point is they're sufficiently different, the primordial and the gravitational one, then I think they probably be efficient. But if there are some similarities
in that
like
we didn't the hope is that basically, for the training simulation, if we don't add the primordial ones, then the model doesn't learn how to remove. So here, going back to this general constraints, here I have the test data, compare the procedural constraints, it creates this type normal flow analysis,
check the condition of our spectrum analysis, we can show up using the orange color. So here you can see we get some much better constraining power when folks we are trying to check all the information at the field level, where the power spectrum is only trying to capture the Hawking. So how does this kind of approach work on more realistic data sets? So here we apply this kind of mathematical framework to the mock Wicklandian maps. So here I consider three scenarios. On the left, we have we assume a galaxy per administrator, which corresponds to the noise level of the current survey. In the middle, we have upper survey scenario where we have more galaxies. And on the right, we assume a hydro galaxy per administrator. So it will be a very optimistic scenario for future galaxy states. So it's not even in your future, but a different approach to game forecast. And here I show some of the previous models. We have the power spectrum constraints, the peak count, the CNN, which is taken from a paper that's 5 years ago. So it's just using the CNN to try to estimate the cosmological parameter directly. It's just a point estimator, and then we can try to come up with some SRD quantification and estimate its error bars. And that was the standard transforms, which is a novel summary statistics based on movements. This is before our analysis, and this is what we get with this noise flow approach. Basically, here I show two different models. On the right, we have the character model, which is just like the sun that I just showed you before. But here, actually, you can say actually great models, and I'm going to talk about that later. But the idea is similar. We try to learn the likelihood of the field at the field level, and then we do the sampling and get those. So on the left, I also have a descriptive model. So here, this is just in the final flow that directly tries to merge the posterior user group instead of the likelihood. We find that for realistic noise scenarios, for example, with our survey, upcoming surveys, all of this, this two different approach actually convergent. Even though this two different approach, they actually have very different architectures that are streaming out very different models, but so we are able to get similar performance, which kind of suggests that potentially we have already set up any information. Yes. And at the peak half, we have also getting on much better improvements compared to previous analysis.
So, as you're trying to set through this, marginalized over things like cancer, like astrophysics in the galaxy, so how do you know, if you're marginalized enough? I guess
question. Oh, yeah. So, here for this data set, this is a very simple. Analysis where we only have a quantum factors. But here, I'm going to describe the other simulations.
The simulations are even from scale.
Or the mass is only
So it's fine.
Yeah, sorry, the mass is only different cosmology.
Sure. Okay, so it's, so things like the galaxy formation physics is not.
It's not in this data set, but later I'm going to show you our realistic demo where we try to marginalize already read. Systematics around that it's in the progression of the nation.
We have that thing all the time.
Okay, so basically, we see that our model is able to give us pretty optimal performance. But the real question is how whether we can trust this analysis. And so here is an example, basically here you are trying to use machine learning to do the inference. On the left, we are trying to constrain the, basically here you are just applying this kind of CNN model to be simulations from hydrographic simulations. On the left, we have a constraint where we screen and apply the model using the same kind of simulation. And on the right, they apply the model to a different simulation where the implementation of the baryonic physics are slightly different. So here, the baryonic physics and the hydrodynamics
and the subgrade models like self-formation or feedback from the pre-shell
square of my speckle.
So this suggests that it needs to marginalize over different better parameters and different better models. But at the same time, we also need to kind of develop different tests to verify the reliability of the analysis. So for example, in traditional analysis, people perform a quickness of tests with hyperparameter statistics. We also perform consistency tests to verify that our analysis is robust, different organ sizes, different scale tests or things. We also do now tests. And basically, next I'm going to show you that we can also use the microflow model to do similar tests as people have been done in the traditional system. So what we can do is to do the Boolean state test, which is also known as log distribution detection. So basically here, if we just have a model that it's in some, tree counts, some tree simulation, and we go back to the region, this model only predicts the cosmological state. So in this case, there is a distribution shift between your dream simulations and the test data. And therefore, this model is not able to make unbiased constraints. And there is nothing that there is very little thing we can do about it because we don't really know that this distribution shift. If we have this, use this microflow approach at the likelihood, we can still do the MCMC at the other posterior. This change is still biased, so there's nothing different. But we can use the likelihood to do the adult distribution detection. So the idea is this because it's not drawn from the training simulation, that it would normally have a much lower likelihood compared to the training data. And then we can tell what this observation look at the training data by looking like likelihood diagrams. And therefore we are able to detect in this kind of distribution shape using this fit test for a lot of distribution detection. And after that, we can have a lot of things we can do, for example, by doing more conservative shell tests or improve the modeling of training simulations. And the first step is to detect this kind of interactive and that would likelihood cut the highs. So another test we can do is the consistency test between different scales. So the motivation here is that your universe, physics at different scales, they are different. And on different scales, we are also governed by different system values. So for example, on small scales, we can't have very simple effects, but on our scales, the things are more robust and linear, but we also have other combinations, like five-squared function from all times. So the goal is to be able to separate and compare the information of different scales, and therefore identify the part of the data naturally contaminated by the system patterns. So in this approach, or in this work, we use limited computation, which is basically recursively applying low-pass filters and high-pass filters to the data, and decompose the data into a sequence of map with different frequencies. So here is an example. So also we have a map which has the same square resolution. We just firstly apply some low-pass filter, high-pass filter to the data, and now we do the downsampling. In this case, we get a co-resolution map and some other maps corresponds to the high-frequency ones. And then we can keep doing this decomposition on the X128, and we can get another sequence of maps, which is just the information at different scales. And we can keep doing this and even add it. Get sequence of maps, and the original likelihood would be composite, which is sum of different firms for each of its application combinations. Also. So we apply this kind of idea to the recurrencing maps, and here we consider a simple experiment. Basically, here on the left, this is the scenario where we don't really have any distribution shape. And the analog systematics. And here we can stick out these different colors and test our strengths on different scales. And they are pretty consistent. So suppose now we have some kind of miscalculation of the noise. And because of this noise, it's a flat, it's a white noise. So it will show up on the small scales.
And on the right, we can see the autistic consistency between the small scale constraints, which is the purple color, and the
large scale.
So here we are able to identify this distribution. And one thing we can do is we remove the part that is that we think is likely to have problems, and we get
device functions.
So if I'm looking for a new physics thing that shows up on small scales, I guess there's no way to know if it's this.
This definitely needs some physics understanding or how we are from why we have this inconsistency. So the analysis here basically tell you there are something going on there, but we don't know if it's to physics or an example. And here is another example of ionic physics. We train our model on the hydrosimulations and the ionics to the isolated smoke inconsistency. But on the right, we train on the only simulation we apply it to that's so with everything things. Having in this case, we can inconsistent it wants.
Is this an alternative to the normalizing flow you were just discussing, or is it complementing it? Can you?
It's still a normalizing flow, and this is just a decomposition of the maps, and then we have these all the different terms, and for each term we have three normalizing flows.
I see. It's just doing normalizing flow on a different scale.
I see. Next I'm going to focus on the generate samples. So previously I have shown you that we are able to generate all the samples using all cosmological parameters. That is for this trunk model. And for this multi-scale flow model, we have also do the same thing. We have also generate new data. In this case, because my client generating is like the first process of this building optimization. The key to what has done in the large scale. And then we create the idea of small scale correlation. I think it had become the highest.
So we have verified that this samples is pretty realistic. It's grids pretty well with the stream simulations are very
so. One thing that we can ask is, when we get all these wonderful constraints, where is this actual information coming from? Or why this other cosmological models are brought out by this analysis? So the generic samples provide a way to visualize this. Let's assume that firstly we have some need to return to that. We have some more polygonal model, we have a selecting function, we run the NTMC, we have the posterior constraint out to, I think, this upper ramp of the target analysis. And now we ask the question whether why a high sigma is ruled out by this analysis. So one thing you can do is to generate new data where you assume a high sigma cosmology, and you also make sure that this data has the same realization as the deep blue map I mentioned there on latent code. And then visually they look pretty similar, but if you take a difference, you can see all these different, which bring them up with zero-like structures, which could help us visualize where the information is coming from and how the constraints are made. Example, in this case, this model would tell us all these zeros are too massive, and therefore it's not consistent
with the inputs.
And so finally, I'm going to tell you some ongoing activation works. So currently, we are trying to apply this model to the KST survey, which is a survey that operated on this spiral telescope in Hawaii. It has a total of 330 nights of duration, and it's currently the deepest person survey. Which would allow us to probe these non-linear scales, and it's ideal for machine learning. So for doing the analysis, we have generated all these training simulations and planning for these training maps, and we also add the realistic decision analysis. But also I want to mention that we've also given a machine learning algorithm to add in all this compounding effect at the field level.
and they start exactly tab with the enterprise given app purchase. So here they express American query results. Here constraints on some data. From left to right, we have some local parameters. We have distinguished some infected parameters for the clinics. We can see alignment parameters and some innocent parameters or some selection regression estimation. So basically, if you look at the upper left corner, this is the fragile left constraints on the automatical parameters. And as you get much better improvement, our constraints compared to the power cycle, you don't have some market values for all the systems. So for the future, the plan is to apply this kind of framework to the main company, Shira Analysis. So currently, I'm working on my KC analysis. We are editing a lot of data, and we will be applying to it to the project soon. And in the long term, plan is actually to apply this model to the upcoming service like deep learning and ProMath. And I would also like to develop some kind of joint analysis with other folks, for example, with Scott's alternate. So this would be like very similar to the three-post joint analysis, but it will be completely out of the bubble. As the robust is doing all this analysis, we definitely need the better modeling of the systematic that which could include better the physics, complete increase alignment, and occur facts. So I would also like to spend a significant time trying to build reliable machine learning, not only for cosmology, but also for other fashion difficult analysis. And the main motivation is that all these models are not only increasing our simulations, but there could be some domain shift or distribution shift between our training integration and the drop revisions. So I have mentioned that I'm currently trying to develop on this feature kind of fence. Another thing I want to mention is an out test. For example, in Google cleansing, we have the females, which is, it should be consistent with zero, and any indication, non-zero female, which is really an indication of systematic effect. So we normally do this kind of out test at the 2-point level, but the goal here is to basically generalize this to, in the field level and build this kind of now at this machine, and it will be much more powerful than by analysis and what's up where. Another thing I want to work on is try to share the data that I have generated on simulations with the community so that people can become a standard data scientist already. And I hope that different groups work on different algorithms with physics and different field level analysis, they can test their model on the same data set so that we can efficiently compare different projects. So finally, another interesting idea would be try to incorporate some physical knowledge, for example, visual theory in the right model, and try to enforce latency may give the same as the initial computation. And as I mentioned previously, they would allow us to manage the modeling of our test.
Try to miss this next.
So, okay, finally, I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about the applications of the model beyond cosmology. So firstly, I'm going to talk about using model flow to search for infinites in accuracy experiments. So the setup or the idea here is that in some accuracy events, we will have a large number of patterns, which is coming from the scatter model. And at the same time, we also have some annual number of beyond standard model residency, which will correspond to some new particles. And then, so we don't know how many data or how many resonance signal we have, but the assumption is that there are, the number will be relatively small compared to the standard model of
the events.
So in this work, we developed this kind of data-driven approach, which is based on SKS switch with momentum flow to detect this kind of new physics for the nebula. So the idea is this kind of a resonant signal will be pretty localized in some particular state,
precise point in the graphic maps. And then the idea is we are trying to look for excess density, I think this parameter space, and we try to identify the excess density, which covers off of this neat thing. So yeah, this is a demonstration, which have this numeric mass on the y-axis, and on the x-axis we have the probably parameters or the statistics for this kind of dashing times and produce n mass or other parameters. And then what we do here is basically we do density mixture on each event for each data, and we compare the density with the density at neighboring parameters. And if there is a significant difference, that means this excess density and the potential movements. So we apply this to the RC Olympics 2020. This is a blind challenge. We applied this estimation model to try to search for these particles, and our approach is actually the only one that is able to get the correct answers in this data set. So here, this is just a mass and of events that comes out the variable mass.
But is there a sense of look elsewhere effect in this method?
Yeah, we can definitely correct it by using the slightings. So yeah, so all these results, it's basically this is the blind challenge, so we are able to correct all this effect. And this is just some yields which says that the best performance is actually 5 hour machine current. And another example is to use a noise floor for very strong inference on the length field theory. So the idea here is that basically length field theory is a web transmission. Every universal method to extract the typical river flows and perfect the product field theory. And traditionally, the calculation of such method is usually relies on NCMC to sample this distribution. But we also know that it faces any serious issues like critical slowing down. Basically, the idea is at regular temperature, you have this long range correlations in our system, and then the correlation of the NCMC samples also increase rapidly. Apparently, we can also use variational inference to do this kind of measurement. So the idea is we have a family of distribution Q of X, which is quantified by some data, and we try to optimize this data parameter so that this Q would become a very good approximation to the original target Q of X. So here, the idea is we will use all the flow out of this Q of X. And I try to approximate some light with your. So for this work, we actually consider a very simple example that should be ice model, which are very familiar with. So we apply this Wolfram distribution, and then the energy is just a metering interaction plus the answer. And we use this Hubbard-Solomonov transformation to rewrite this problem to a continuous variable. And then we apply this momentum flow to defer to approximate this distribution, and then to sample from it and get for the plane red hole. So here on the left, I show you some of these parameter qualities. We have the energy, we have the heat, we absolute magnetism, also this aptitude. So here we compare our results with the HNC, signal. It's a very large one. It's shown on the blue color. And then the gray color is our normalized flow. So you can see it overlaps with the CATC. And the gray color, sorry, the yellow color is the previous normalized flow. It's called neural normalized group. In this model doesn't work as well. And probably really capture this condition. So on the right, this is the element breakdown and pacing, which here basically a larger number means better performance or better approximation. Here our model
yeah, we better start a large.
So finally, I want to briefly talk about how we use it to speed up the sampling. So here the goal is to basically sample from a group distribution, GeoX, here by this Boltzmann distribution. And a very popular way of doing this is use this idea of overdamped log line prediction. Wow, this is here like this prediction. So basically the idea is we try to simulate the evolution of some particles, and the dynamics of the particles is just given by being here. It's powered by some kind of brilliant potential. Where the potential is related to the target density worker kind of cycle. And then we also have this kind of stochastic current,
Runs.
And then I'm going to prove that if you simulate the evolution of this particle long enough, then the environment distribution of these particles would be the target distribution of your ones. But the main issue is that, you know, because we have this stochastic current, the convergence of these are very small, and we also have highly correlated.
Awesome.
So the idea here is we are trying to use small line flow to speed up this algorithm. So there are several improvements we did. Due to the time limit, I won't go into all of them, but I just want to briefly mention the first point. Basically, the idea is here we have every term. And we replace this stochastic term with a deterministic term. It's another potential gradient, or at least potential is given by the log density of Libra's iron also distribute on the target. And now you can prove that even though the trajectory of individual particles won't be the same, the distribution of the particles will still be the same, and therefore it will still converge to this target distribution. And we have verified that this model works on some pretty hard problem, that over 100 better small bubble publishing. And this is a pretty do dimensional Rosen group function, which is a 16-5 coordinate banana shape posterior. And we actually did pretty well.
So, I have a question here. So, is it the result will be the same at all moments of time or only asymptotically?
Something more. At every time. The evolution of the
distribution of all systems.
And here, this is just a comparison with the thing of the art. You can see in algorithm. So here, the blue color is the nuts. Our algorithm is showing the pink color. Here we have on the y-axis, this is pi x squared, which is, you know, some quantification of how well we are approximating this target to good that a smaller number gets better for us. With that x-axis, it's as the top up. And do see that we are able to get comparable or better performance of these four different data sets. And actually, all of them are similar to that role. In final examples, so here, the HMC LMS actually have couple convergence of our model to work well. And that was all I can mention that this is actually an example algorithm, so we can parallelize it very easily, which could reduce the walkout time by another and the corresponding part of the parallelized persons here this is a conclusion. Basically, I have covered all these applications of long line flow. In the cosmological analysis, we build this long line flow with the physical knowledge, like symmetry or the Gaussian structure, and we give it to respective variation. And I'm showing you that there are evidence to tell that our analysis is very close to optimal. It's also interpretable with samples, and we also develop two different approaches, because of fit tests and one shell analysis to detect some analysis items or distributions. I also show you some other examples beyond cosmology, or in hydrodynamic physics,
search for new physics using dynamic detection. We do very traditional on the best field, and then we can also use the
drivers. So that must be of and more thoughts of the benches.
Thanks.
So.
So, according to tradition, we'll take questions from students first. So, is there a student who would like to ask a question?
Hello, the poet.
Okay. In that case, I'll just open it up for questions from anyone. So, you know, in the linear
limit, so when I just focus on Marx,
then the power spectrum should have only reached the perfect
set.
And so these should be power suit. Now, of course, not the observation of V2 are in a perfect world. And so the power spectrums, even on linear scale, should not be up.
That is it. I don't know. I just
remove parts from that.
And that's orange.
So if I just focus on that aspect, have you explored how good these techniques could be at just identifying systematics? When you know that that's pretty much the only thing in here. You know, we can dig into the small scales and you kind of illustrate how you're adding information on the small scales.
There's more physics there because things are not counted, but already on linear scales
in the real world, things are not.
And you split that off there. You comment on
that. Yeah, so the question is on one linear scale, you also have more like mathematics, animation, things that we don't read
on linear scales. Like, I mean, for galaxies, you know, like, come on, you know, large angular scales are things. Could you help with that?
The question is whether this approach is able to identify or help with the systematics.
But yes.
Yeah.
We need, for example, there's a goodness of fit test that I still believe that it should be more it's really more powerful than, for example, the price order analysis, because we are now trying to model the full likelihood of the field. So in the case of all, there could be some systematics that doesn't show up on the full-point level, back when we have been able to detect it. But at the full-point level, it degenerates with physical signal. But that would be, in terms of how we should be able to help or separate this fact, you can have a full field level method. Another thing we can do, I also mentioned here, is for example, could do it with kind of, for example, mountains. For example, I need some BMO at that level. If we try to model the distribution of BMO at the field level, this could, in principle, be a more powerful test compared to it, because testing in more
categories.
Is that it? Sure.
More questions for Vivek?
So, you talk about goodness of fit here, and my understanding is that I'm one of the limiting things in analysis and in physics is sort of distinguishing this astrophysics for sort of cosmological signals. Is there room for a badness of fit analysis, which is to say, if you sort of train on different assumptions of subgroup models and stuff like that, does the way those don't work with each other, does that tell us something that we can take back to those models? Does that make sense? Which?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yes, definitely. For example, in this,
for example, in this analysis, assuming that, for example, here we have created the limitation of the parametric physics. That's, you know, they could also possibly run in a different way. And if we train it and apply that, we need to do that. Regressions, you know, anyway, see, in principle, we try to, you know, get the estimation of yeah, that's a reason. And in fact, I think this monistic approach is a really good model to do this kind of test because we are separating the information so we can really basically identify, for example, at which scale the physics starts to form, the model is starting to drip down.
But, yeah. Intro type. Yes.
Turn. Yes.
Yeah, I was just wondering, have you tested how well you could recover, say, primary backup semantic from this emergency platform?
Okay, Alan, this is our thesis.
Talk about how we. My phrase.
Okay. If there are no more questions, let's break for lunch. Everyone's welcome to join. If you'd like to join the speaker dinner tonight, please send me an email before 5 or so, so I can make the reservation with the finally, I want to mention that BYU is also giving an informal talk at 11 tomorrow at Pickle. Pickle is a small space. I didn't advertise it to everyone, but there's room for a few of us. So if you're interested in coming, just send me an email. We'll figure out.
Okay,
let's take it away again. Go for it.